Chapter 22, Jeremiah's Difficult Task. No man has ever faced a more difficult task than the young priest Jeremiah. He was living quietly in the village of Anathoth, a few miles northeast of Jerusalem. He was of godly parentage and from his childhood had been brought up to hold himself free from the evils that were so common among his countrymen. He was a careful student of the history of his people and of the political events of the world. He had a profound faith in the righteousness of God. He became convinced as a young man that his people had reached such a degenerate condition that there was practically no hope for them without a complete purification. He expected nothing less than that Jerusalem would be destroyed by her enemies and that the national life would come to an end. He believed indeed in a great restoration that would take place afterwards, but this was far more remote than the hopes which the earlier prophets had held. Isaiah had told his people that they would be chastised and then forgiven, and within his own time the chastisement and the renewal of prosperity had come. But Jeremiah saw that the national immorality and injustice had gone too far, and he had the terrible task of declaring to his people their doom. He was an intense patriot. He was a man of sensitive temper. No one ever found it more difficult to say a harsh word than Jeremiah. And yet, perhaps no one in history was ever called upon to speak more severely than he. His political insight enabled him to see the direction from which the awful dangers would probably come. As we have already noted in studying the prophets Zephaniah and Nahum, there were great disturbances among the nations of the world. Jeremiah began his work before Habakkuk felt the problem of the Chaldeans, but already that mighty power was rising. The terrible Scythians, who so strongly affected the imagination of Zephaniah, were making their invasions. Assyria was struggling in its death agonies. Somewhere from the north, whence enemies poured into Palestine, Jeremiah knew the danger would come. He had no desire to be a prophet. A fierce struggle went on in his soul as he resisted the conviction that he was called upon to preach. Yet he felt again and again that he had been predestined from his birth to speak the awful message to his countrymen. He tells us the inner struggle he endured. "Now the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, I have appointed thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord Jehovah, behold, I know not how to speak, for I am a child. But Jehovah said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for to whomsoever I shall send thee, thou shalt go, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid because of them, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Then Jehovah put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Jehovah said unto me, Behold, I have put words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down and to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. As he meditated on the words that he must speak to his countrymen, he became convinced that he must tell them of the peril from the north. He saw it as if there were a boiling pot ready to be poured out upon his people. And the word of Jehovah came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a boiling cauldron, and the face thereof is from the north. Then Jehovah said unto me, Out of the north evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, in that they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at them, lest I dismay thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a fortified city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah,
against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Jeremiah began his preaching during the reign of the godly king Josiah. From the first he was misunderstood and often hated, and sometimes he longed to flee from the whole task and find rest in the wilderness. It was evident to him from the first that the comfort of a family life was not for him. He was to be a lonely man. The word of Jehovah came also unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. During the early years of Josiah, before the attempt at reformation which that good king made, Jeremiah preached constantly in Jerusalem, and always with two central ideas. The first of these was that all the history of Israel proved her unfaithful to her high calling and her God-appointed destiny. He told the people that they had received a goodly start, but had made a shameful failure. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate branches of a foreign vine unto me? For though thou wash thee with lye and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord Jehovah.
Jeremiah often felt, as Hosea, that Israel had behaved toward Jehovah as an unfaithful wife or a rebellious child. The kindness of the divine father and husband had been shamefully repaid. But I said, How will I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of the nations? And I said, Ye shall call me my father, and shall not turn away from following me. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith Jehovah. The prophet spoke these severe words because of his utter discouragement in any attempt to find a righteous purpose among the people of the corrupt city. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that doeth justly, that seeketh truth, and I will pardon her. And though they say, As Jehovah liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Jehovah, do not thine eyes look upon truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they are not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Then I said, Surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of Jehovah, nor the law of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they know the way of Jehovah, and the justice of their God. But these with one accord have broken the yoke, and burst the bonds. The sins which Jeremiah felt so keenly were those sins of oppression of which the other prophets had spoken. It was the bitter condition of the poor who were wronged by the powerful and wealthy. For among my people are found wicked men. They watch as fowlers lie in wait. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxed rich. They are waxed fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass in deeds of wickedness. They plead not the cause of the fatherless, that they may prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge? Shall I not visit for these things, saith Jehovah? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? And all this Jeremiah connected with the false religion of the people. He felt they had given up the real worship of their God, and had substituted a mere hollow ritual. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. The idolatry was so foolish that the people ought to have been ashamed of it. When trouble arose, they would see their folly. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed.
they, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, who say to a stock, Thou art my father, and to a stone, Thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble they will say, Arise and save us. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. The other central thought in Jeremiah's preaching during those years was the inevitable destruction that must come. Sometimes the expectation almost broke his heart. He cried out in an agony of sorrow, my anguish, I am pained at my very heart. My heart is disquieted in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is laid waste. Suddenly are my tents destroyed and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish. They know me not. They are sottish children and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. He looked over the movements of the nations. He saw his own petty people weakened by their social iniquities. He knew that the mighty warriors from the north would sweep them away, and how terrible, how pitiless would be the invasion and the devastation he could well conceive. Thus saith Jehovah, Behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be stirred up from the uttermost parts of the earth. They lay hold on bow and spear, they are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, every one set in array as a man to the battle against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the report thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and terror are on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation. For the destroyer shall suddenly come upon us. I have made thee a trier and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. In this manner Jeremiah preached while Josiah was on the throne. While his words must have been very unpleasing to the leaders, he suffered no interference for his fearless message. But when Josiah was dead, and his weak and cowardly son Jehoiakim had succeeded him, a harsher period opened for the prophet. He had no thought of refraining from telling his message. Indeed, he even made it more definite. In the temple court itself, he told the people that the sacred building should be laid waste like the old tabernacle at Shiloh. Jeremiah has told us how he came to preach the sermon. Thus saith Jehovah, Stand in the court of Jehovah's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in Jehovah's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. It may be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I propose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith Jehovah, If ye will not hearken to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I send unto you, even rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. The priests in the temple and their prophets, who were the popular preachers of the day, determined that Jeremiah should be allowed to speak such words no longer. They seized him, crying, Thou shalt surely die, and carried him before the judges, charging him with treason. Jeremiah fearlessly met the charge. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, Jehovah sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Now therefore amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of Jehovah your God, and Jehovah will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as is good and right in your eyes. Only know ye for certain that, if ye put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city, and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth Jehovah hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. In the free monarchy of Israel, it was a tradition that a prophet should have the right of free speech. Sometimes that right was denied by tyrants, but on this occasion the precedent of Micah was cited by the court, and it was held that Jeremiah could not be judged guilty. Those were noble words in which this great precedent was cited. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, This man is not worthy of death, for he hath spoken to us in the name of Jehovah our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land, and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Moreshtite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah king of Judah. And he spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, Zion shall be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear Jehovah and entreat the favor of Jehovah? And Jehovah repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus shall we commit great evil against our own souls. The tyrannical character of the king was shown a little later in the case of another prophet, who had no such powerful friend as Jeremiah. Jehoiakim even succeeded in reaching him in Egypt and in putting him to death. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of Jehovah, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah, of Kiriath-Jearim, and he prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim, the king, sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim, the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. But the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death.